Hello and good morning to the Smashy Business Show. I am Farah Bashir.
It's Friday, 7th of June, 2024. I'm Richard Fitzgerald.
And I have a lot of news for you. Of course, I'm so excited to have Richard with me in the studio, honestly. How are you?
I'm very good. I used to only do this show on Fridays, so that's why I jump on Fridays. We used to have the Dubai Works Business Podcast when we had around 250 CEOs episodes back to back for 5 years. So this is the, if you scroll down, if you're listening to this on a podcast, if you scroll down, you'll see the one-on-one interviews. But then obviously at the start of the year, we went to a daily show and you've been hosting so well in Lubna. So yeah, I'm good, Farah. How are you?
Honestly, I'm good. I kind of like had like a crisis, an existential crisis the past week, thinking that Wednesday is Thursday and Thursday is Friday. And today I'm like, okay, so today is Friday.
I think that I wouldn't describe that as existential. I would call that just a confused day of the week. But it doesn't really matter because if before there were calendars and days, there was just sun rising and stuff. So you're just getting up. So it's
that's
cool.
That's true. I mean,
don't worry. You're here. You're with us.
Exactly.
You're back on the show, and it doesn't really matter what day of the week it is.
Exactly. My sister was like, "Farah, do you want me to buy you a calendar?" And I was like, "That's mean." The bully. She's the bully younger sister. But let's jump to our headlines for today. Al Habtour faces delays and faces criticism for planned Lebanese TV channel, and as well, IAB MENA report the genocide in Gaza cost the MENA internet advertising industry $1.5 billion in 2023, and Saudi-based Faqih Cares shares rises 10% in Tadawul debut, which is very exciting, honestly, for us. But let's, of course, jump to our first story and a follow-up. We talked about it, Lubna and I, about how TV is having its comeback, which is very exciting. And, of course, Al Habtour is not going to be, you know, he will for sure, of course, you know, want to take that into consideration and will play a huge role.
So basically, Khaled Al Habtour, it's a family business. Mm-hmm. They own lots of different sectors and different businesses, from automotive to F&B to hospitality. You know, there's the Al Habtour. There's that development in Dubai with lots of hotels. And of course, you know, a lot of businessmen in the region have investments in other countries. We often talk about it. So that's one part of it. And they did announce that they were going to hire about 300 people, launch a TV station in Lebanon. The history of TV in Lebanon is extensive. It's, you know, kind of an unsung hero of the region, sort of punching above their weight in terms of production, just like Syria as well. But lots of good documentaries, lots of good movies, lots of good Ramadan shows over the years, but also lots of good journalism and good, you know, linear incumbent native national TV stations. MTV, not to be confused with the music TV, but MTV stands for something else, and it's more of a journalistic news organization. They also have LBC.
Al Jadid as well. Al Jadid, yeah.
Al Jadid, obviously. Yes. They had Future TV under the Hariri family years ago. That's since shut down. So there's lots of TV stations there. There's lots of things for people to watch. A lot of people who grew up in the region will have watched Lebanese shows on Lebanese channels across the region. So they're always very popular. But like everywhere, the TV industry has gone into demise, decline, and they're trying to make some sort of a comeback. But I think what's happened here is people questioned whether launching a TV station was the right thing. People questioned whether launching one in Lebanon was the right thing. Mm-hmm. And a few months after announcing it, he's come out with a statement saying he's having issues. And a lot of people are saying, well, how are you going to get the economy back up and running if you're preventing inward investment like this and slowing it down?
Yeah. And he even, by the way, he said that he is not expecting, even if he does not achieve any profit or any significant financial gain, you know, but he is actually, and he's envisioning 300 jobs and a boost to the Lebanese economy and media scene. And that's where, by the way, he faced a lot of criticism, because a lot of people were saying like, hey, the economy is not good because of Syria. And Syria, of course, you know, like Iran controls Syria and all of these things. It's a lot of, as well, political insight that as well is included in this. So that's why he's facing a lot of criticism.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a challenging business environment. And he's very outspoken on Twitter. And, you know, it's good to have business leaders with voices, especially in the media sector, in the media industry. You know, I always, my introduction into the region was through the Lebanese sort of media industry, and I always hope for a better environment there, both on the publishing, broadcasting and advertising as well. But good luck to him. I hope he gets over the line. I hope they get that TV off the ground.
I mean, honestly, I really hope so too, because, you know, a lot of journalists are calling him out. Like, why would he have a channel in Lebanon when the situation in Lebanon is not that stable yet? And they are, of course, you know, it's a lot of politics that are involved in the whole scenario and the whole situation, such as people are questioning, you know, the motives behind him. What are, because there are a lot of obstacles that are there happening.
Yeah.
And of course, like, as you yourself, you are a grand CEO for the greatest media company, Augustus Media, literally in the world. So in that, like, Joyce Karam, she's a senior news editor at Al Monitor Notes, said that the situation is the worst ever since the civil war has ended. And the year over the years, of course, like, it has.
So this
not
is,
really
we're talking
grown.
About, yeah, the second story really is talking about, well, that's obviously in Lebanon, but I think some of the stats here, you can go into it. The second story is about the digital advertising spend across the Middle East and North Africa.
Oh,
so there's been a report that's been issued.
Yeah.
It's a report by the IAB. The IAB is an international industry body. Mm-hmm. What you do is they have them, they have the IAB in each country, and it's the Internet Advertising Bureau and Board. And it's made up by, in this region, you know, over 60 members, companies, of which Augustus Media are a member of the IAB MENA. And what that means then is that all the members in that company make up that industry, and they have a governing board of 15 companies, and they produce reports, they try and advance the industry, they try and advance the industry here on par with other markets. So they tackle things like emerging areas like digital, social, mobile, connected TV, audio, ad tech, digital out of home, all these areas. Mm-hmm. But what, since the IAB was set up, so about 4 or 5 years ago, Farah, they started producing an advertising spend report, mm-hmm. where it's commissioned with an independent economics company who specializes in doing research and reports.
Yeah.
And so it's an independent body working with another independent body.
That's,
and I
true.
Think research and measurement is so important with all industry. We're just talking about TV. There's often conversations about how to measure TV, and this is how to measure advertising spend. But year over year, this ad spend report has increased. And of course, it's important for all of us who work in the digital media sector that the higher the advertising, the more healthier the industry is.
So they
produced a report there yesterday, and it took 4 or 5 months to put together. They interviewed hundreds of people on this. And, you know, it's worth saying that the big companies are part of this, mm-hmm. like Google and TikTok and Snap, and all these big companies are part of this,
yeah.
as well as the publishers, NBC, used to be SRMG. They're all in this. And so while some information is proprietary, the research is done, and they said that it increased by 13.6%. They said it would have increased by 17%.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been 6.4 billion instead of 6.23 billion. Or so, so it's about 1.5 billion miss on Q4. And of course, the genocide started on the 7th of October.
Yeah.
And Q4 is typically at the highest ad spend quarter in the year for a variety of factors. But typically, you know, our company sees 40% of its total revenue in Q4. So Q4 is known as a high quarter in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when, you know, a significant chunk of spend. So it just shows, though, that, you know, it's good to have this data. It's good to have, you know, industry body actually put some numbers on the impact of Q4 as well.
That is true. And as well, because, like, in 2023, the AdSense report presented to the industry professionals in Dubai, because they, on the 6th of June, they wanted to show how the genocide in Gaza portrayed on the IAB, which, honestly, I think, you know, of course, because, like, they have McDonald's and they have all of those brands that are getting boycotted, so they must have gotten affected in a certain way.
Yeah, the other thing is, like, the in this region, social media advertising, whether it's performance ads or influencer ads or YouTube or Facebook or Meta, Instagram, like all these platforms, is proportionally a lot higher than other markets. Like, search advertising is bigger than Europe than this region, but social media is really big here. And social media, of course, is where you can't really hide, right? Like, there's a lot of comments, there's a lot of transparent, there's a lot of backlash that happens there. So that's one of the reasons as well why the social media was impacted in Q4. But another thing on this report, I think it's a very healthy report. I think it's shown how far we've come with digital ad spend in the last decade in the region.
Yeah.
And it's good to see many people. But I think the industry, you know, having been involved in it in a long time, I do think that, you know, if we look at that number, that headline number, the $6.25 billion, if that was all going into the region, then we would have even more successes and even more professions and even more companies and even more thriving industry, you know? I think we need to look at that as industry professionals and think about, you know, if you were running a country, if you're running a tourism board, if you have investment for a project, and of 6 billion, we don't know the exact number, but if a lot of it is leaving the region and going to companies that have tax jurisdictions elsewhere or headquarters elsewhere, profits are listed elsewhere, then that's seepage, right? And you can't can't really grow an industry unless you're investing. And we have investment. We've got 6 billion. So let's invest, you know. So, I'm all about growing the pie. I think we need to, I would love that to be 10 billion. I'd love the 10 billion to be within the region, because I think if you had that, you'd have incredible apps, you'd have incredible ad tech, you'd have incredible channels, you'd have incredible media here. And this media, this industry is a young region, you know, it's only really started in the last 50 years or so, pretty much in the Gulf particularly. And so it's a young industry and it needs investment. So the more that the money seeps out, billions of dollars leaving the region every year in advertising, the more that that's kept in a free market, you know, fair environment, the better. And it doesn't mean that you need to stop advertising on Meta or Instagram. It would just be great if they reinvested in the region as well. If they, hired more people, if they worked with more local publishers, if they invested on more maybe regional apps or maybe regional only offerings, it would be great.
Yeah, actually, as well, I wanted to say something that, of course, I'm saying this because I come from this generation, which I call them to be very unhinged and they're very straight to the point and they get what they want. So because like here, I want to talk about the genocide and the boycotts that are happening. So because of like the boycotts, you know, I'm sure that the number, which is 6.25 billion, could have been higher if they had, you know, not had like McDonald's, because people are boycotting McDonald's or Starbucks or things like that. If they had not worked with them, they would get a higher number, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because then people are going to be like, fine, why would I want to listen to this advertising company? I would not want to work with them. They are, I'm going to boycott them. Mm. And that's the thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. It's a good report. It's a healthy, it's great to have industry bodies doing independent research. They did put a number against that. They did say 17%. So, it's interesting to have this information and, you know, wondering as the genocide continues and we're in June, that's two more quarters in 2024, wondering when the report comes out next year, what the impact of Q1 and Q2 will be, more to come. And I'm sure the people there will be able to shed light on that information. So what's the next story?
Well, honestly, I'm really looking forward to that. But the next story is that Faqih Care's shares rise 10%. Faqih Care Group, you guys.
Big hospitality, big hospital, I should say, not hospitality. Yes. Hospital chain in Saudi, but probably only known in that market. They went public, didn't they, Farah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did, honestly. And they are like, it's everyone knows Faqih and everyone just like understands it. So the company's shares ended the trading day at $16.8 million, which is like 63.3 Saudi riyals after debuting 15.3 Saudi riyals a piece. Faqih Cares debut trading. Of course, they did not see, it was not as big surge as expected. Of course, possibly due to Aramco's influence. Which
and just the explaining the Aramco influence. So Aramco are currently, they listed some of their company about 5 years ago, and they're going to list more. So yes. All the private money in Saudi has been committed to this. We're thinking it's $12 billion. Mm-hmm. And they're doing a roadshow in London at the moment, and it's oversubscribed. So the timing with these things, when you're going to market and when you want someone to give you money, and if they've got something else attractive, they kind of look left and look right. But it's all good. It's all positive in Saudi at the moment. The IPO market is positive, and you know, hospital going out to the market as well is really good. The healthcare sector obviously is going through some change, but it's really positive, so well done to Faqih.
Exactly. I mean, hats off to Faqih for their improvement. And as you said, you know, like in the market, like what happens, I feel like it's like two people like head and head, you know, it's like they go like, oh yeah, you know, I want this. No, I'm going to win. It's actually a cool thing. It's a cool, honestly. And of course, this is all according to Bloomberg data. The numbers are according to Bloomberg data. You know, of course, it as well had the smallest first day gain among companies listing on Tadawul in the past year. And this contrasts with the high demand during the book building process, where the institutional offering was oversubscribed 119 times and the retail tranche 14.5 times.
And again, just to explain that, so if you're part of the oversubscription part, 119 times is massive. And then 14 times for the retail, but for the institutional, it's massively oversubscribed. And this is what's happening a lot lately, and it's similar with the IPOs in the UAE, is retail people don't usually have a tranche in the NASDAQ and things like that. It's usually institutional, and you have to wait for it to go public to buy. But here, retail tranches are becoming more and more common, about 5% or so. But if you don't get it in the subscription process, then when it goes public, you can still buy, and you can usually, if they don't get a bounce, you can usually buy it similar to what was offered before. But people aren't used to the trading apps here, and they don't have a broker, and the banks don't let them trade. So the subscription process can happen via your bank at a retail level, but the post public transaction can't happen at a retail investor level. So it's just, that's why we're getting oversubscription at the start, but then we don't see as high a volume of trading once they're out. And this is all part of the maturity of the capital markets in the region. There's a lot of fintech companies playing in this space. There's a lot of companies who are allowing you trade. We saw Sarwiz financial results come through. There's Baraka, there's a few others, there's BHM Mubasher, there's even trading apps in Saudi as well that allow you. And even now the Wheel Bank have a trading app as well. So it is getting a lot more liquid at a retail level. And that will really help. But it does go to show that, if you did want to buy in on some of these things, just because you didn't get your subscription and your money's returned doesn't mean you can't go out and buy those same shares with the same opportunity of upside in the future, depending on business performance, and also the same opportunity for a dividend as well.
That is true. I mean, we have seen like how Saudi Arabia in general, you know, like the business and the finance market in Saudi Arabia has really, 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 really elevated itself and as well improved on so many levels. Like, for example, like right now we have the fact that Faqih Group's IPO is the largest in the kingdom for this year, which is very exciting for Faqih, the hospitality service, as you've mentioned earlier.
Hospital. There's a lot. I mean,
they have a lot of hospitals as well. They have the Saudi German Hospital, and it's one of the best hospitals, right?
Around, especially in Dubai.
Literally, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we've seen one fintech IPO, Razan, recently in Saudi. So we're waiting, Farah, for more of the unicorns in Saudi to go public. And it's interesting to watch the space.
I mean, honestly, I'm excited to see how Saudi is going to be like, because the business is improving, everything in Saudi is changing, and honestly, this is something that we are all looking for. And this brings us to the end of the show.
Thanks a lot, guys. We'll be back next week, Monday morning, with another episode. Keep watching, keep following Smashy Business. A revamped newsletters are going to be coming out soon. So do give your feedback on that and keep in touch with the news and keep sending us stories. All your investment announcements as well, more than welcome to share them with us.
As well, don't forget to catch us on podcast. If you guys missed the episode, we are going to be on podcast. If you want to hear the wisdom from the one and the only Richard Fitzgerald.
Thanks, Farah. All right. Take care, guys. Have a good weekend.